The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the others, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Some of you know that while in seminary, I did my year-long internship serving the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation and what we know as South Dakota. Now, Pine Ridge is one of those places that has the reputation of only the really bad stuff coming out of it. You only get to hear the really hard stories, stories that feel like it's dirty and sad and broken down. News story after news story comes out about Pine Ridge, telling about the absurd rates of alcoholism, suicide, abuse, gang violence, and the like. The only stories that seem to come out of Pine Ridge are the stories of death. That is, the only stories told by non-Lakota people are the bad ones. Not to mention the physical land in which the Pine Ridge Reservation is called the Badlands. Has anybody been to the Badlands in South Dakota, right? It's not exactly a water-filled oasis. It's pretty dry, like really dry, like tumbleweed dry. And the earth around the Badlands feels like death. The earth, the land, the surface of that ground feels like death. The earth seems to be dying when you stand in the Badlands, and the people seem to be dying with it. It's not like our snow-covered mountains that seem to hold you in a nice cradle or an embrace as you drive through our mountains on the way to Anchorage. It's a completely different topography. Now, not only are the Badlands dry and depressing, but we know as Alaskans, we have our own stories of the land feeling a lot different, feeling like there's death and dying in our own lands. We know that the rate of the ice is melting is extreme. We know that permafrost is disappearing, making land more susceptible to erosion, to mudslides, to landslides, and the like. The glaciers are melting, causing sea levels to rise and Arctic animals and villages to be thrown into the sea. There's the Pacific Gyre, which is this pile of floating garbage off of the West Coast. It's at least the size of Texas, and it's just floating garbage like in a flotilla. There's the extinction of plants and trees, of the animals, of the land and the air and the sea. Death is all around us. And if you've experienced death in your life, you know that even one person experiencing a physical death, one person that you love, brings death into your living life. Meaning that if you love someone or something that has died, part of you dies as well. Maybe it's the obvious, like when your dog dies, or maybe it's the really hard emotional stuff, like when your parents get a divorce. But when that death happens, a part of you dies with that. Our reading from Revelation this morning, is one of the most commonly used scripture readings at funerals. Because what better words to hear when you're grieving the death of someone you love, when you are in the deep pains of grief, than to hear that God will wipe away every tear from every eye and that death will be no more. That's the promise we need at funerals when we're mourning someone we love. And I'm glad that we hear this because when you've grieved, there are a lot of tears that come. And when you're feeling the layers of death all around you, we desperately need someone to wipe those tears. But perhaps what is more encouraging in the face of death is to hear that God dwells among us, God lives among people. God lives in people, right? The disciples were concerned about how they could be Jesus, how they could follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, 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 you can't come where I'm going. But here's how you can live a Christ-like love, right? A Christ-like life. I gave you the answer. But how do you live a Christ-like love? Gah, Christ-like life. You know the answer. What is it?
Love.
All right. I was like, if you got that one wrong, well, oh boy. Christ says, this is how you find me, in love, right? And so when we have this death around us, we know that God continues to dwell among God's people, to literally set up camp inside each and every one of us. Now, this may be hard to fathom when you think about the way that we produce garbage and not stewarding the land that our Creator has given us. It's even harder to imagine when we recall stories of indigenous folks like the Lakota forced into the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation by the U.S. government, and the many humans hurting other humans in our history and in our present, right? You turn on the news and there's no shortage of ways in which we hurt each other, right? That's what it feels like sometimes. That's all we hear about. But God continues to dwell among mortals, among people like us, among broken, messed up people. Now, while I was in Pine Ridge, part of my work was to work out of the Pine Ridge Ministry Center, which was a shared Lutheran Presbyterian group that hosted folks coming for immersion programming to learn more about Lakota culture. Now, in addition to being a dry, dusty landscape of the Badlands, Pine Ridge is also a food desert. That means for the entire reservation, a population of 28,000 people, so just a little bit smaller than the peninsula, right? I think we're like 35,000 for the whole Kenai Peninsula. Anybody better with numbers than I am? No? Okay. I was told 35,000 when I moved here, so we're going to make that law, right? So 28,000 people of the reservation, covering 3,500 miles, and there is one grocery store, which means that access to fresh fruits and vegetables is nearly impossible. Now, after some time and conversation at the retreat center, we decided to put together a community garden. The community would prepare, plant, and harvest the crops together as a collective, not having individual plots, but that we'd all work for the outcome of what could grow in this garden. Now, that process was not an easy one, because I just told you that we're trying to grow fruits and vegetables in the Badlands, in the desert, right? Not exactly an easy task. But it happened. And it happened because God dwells in people. And where do we find Christ? Love. Right? Where do we find Christ?
Love.
Love, right? And what happened then is that the fire department came and tilled the land. We had grants and donations from folks for fencing and seeds and plants and even shovels and garden rakes. People showed up and put their hands in the dirt, put the dirt in their hands. And each person who came in contact with the garden had their tiny fingerprints placed in the process of nurturing the creation that we've been invited to be a part of. But like most things, it's not as easy as it sounds. In fact, before we could start planting, we had to work through the soil and pull out the big rocks and garbage. Yes, garbage. Now, gathering as a community, we worked with our hands and through the soil, pulled out piece after piece of shattered beer bottle glass. It was just this like collection of greens and blues and browns. And we put these shards of all of these different glasses gently after pulling them out of the soil into buckets. Now, each weapon of harm had to be carefully plucked from a wound of Mother Earth, the damage from the glass that could do to our skin. And we had to pull that out of the earth. But it was deeper than that, because with each piece of glass, we were removing something that caused harm out of our Mother Earth. God was wiping away tears after each piece was pulled out of that soil. And after buckets and buckets of glass were extracted, the question was asked by one of the youngest kids in the family of gardeners. And they said, "What do we do with the glass? What do we do now? What do we do now? What do we do after we've celebrated the life of someone we love through a funeral or a memorial or even through the sharing of family stories? What do we do once the shards of glass have been pulled out, leaving us still tender with the wounds of hurt and perhaps still crying tears? What do we do when the wounds remain, but we're not sure where to go? Now, not to leave this little one without an answer for those buckets of glass, we allowed it to be made new. So taking the shards of broken beer bottles found in our garden to be, we mixed up a couple of bags of cement and immersed the glass into a cement-paved kind of stepping stone. The glass filled in to make a mosaic in this dry, dusty concrete that shows both the pain and healing, both the wounds and the tears that are being wiped away. Then we poked the words into the stepping stone from Revelation 21:5, where God says, "Behold, I am making all things new. Behold, look, check it out. I, your God, your creator, your holy maker, is making all things new. All of it. Not a single thing, not a single shard of beer bottle will be cast off to the side, and not a single one of you, because God dwells in you. God is in it. God is in the dirt, the dry dust, the garbage heaps in the ocean, the melting ice caps, the paths still stained with blood from the forced removal and genocide of American Indian people, the beer bottles in gardens, in the dirty hands of the deep, rocky soil. God is in us. God is in it all, and God is making us new, taking us with our sharp, jagged edges and our tear-stained faces and restoring us, creating new life out of death right now. God, we get to be co-creators with God, participating in the healing work of our lands and our hands. This isn't just a far-off thing that we might get to experience, but it's here and now. God turns our dirty hands upward as we receive the gift of bread and wine. Just one glimpse, just one tiny glimpse of where God dwells among us. One place where God says, "I am here with you." God is dwelling in the hands that extend to one another in peace, making this community new over and over and over again. Behold, look, check it out. Because God is making all things new. All of it. God is making us new. Thanks be to God. Amen.